Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
As many of you already know, chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes returns to the subject of wisdom, not surprisingly, a very common subject throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. And the one ingredient that King Solomon, the author of this book, tells us is necessary for life to be fulfilling. Life doesn't have to be empty, empty, all is empty, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, and so forth. Doesn't have to be that way at all. It is for those who don't live with eternity's values in view. It is for those who don't live their life in service to God, to please Him, to worship Him, to serve Him. It is for those who try to pursue fulfillment in life in all of the things of this world. For them, life is very empty. It turns out to be that way. In spite of all of the prospects of what they think is going to be fulfilling when they start pursuing it, they will find sooner or later, sometimes sooner and sometimes later, sometimes it gets pretty close to the end of life before they figure all this out, that this didn't do it, it didn't make my life fulfilling, it wasn't really the right thing to pursue. Well, just learn that from Scripture now and save yourself a lot of trouble, in fact. Learn that from Scripture now. And learn to orient yourself to God and to His Word and to live according to wisdom, which is applying the truth of God to everyday living. And if you learn to live according to wisdom, then you will find life very fulfilling indeed. It won't be empty, empty, all is empty, not at all. It will be joyful, joyful, all is joyful, if you learn to do it God's way. And that's what chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes is all about. So we'll continue as I welcome you to this Tuesday, February 2 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And we will continue as radio listeners help us with the costs of paying the radio bills so that we can teach God's Word on this station. Joyful living, how to enjoy life in a fallen world. And the chapter opens with two verses, a short section on wisdom with money. And I've already spent two broadcasts on that, so I just simply review for those who may not have heard us yesterday or Friday, that the wisdom with money that these verses are talking about is learning to give. That's wise. And that produces joy. But we can't return to that. We move on to the second one, which is wisdom at work. And here's another area that's revisited, like the first one. Earlier in the book, Solomon warned us that money cannot bring satisfaction. But now he tells us it can if we learn to handle our money with wisdom, and particularly if we learn the joy of giving. That will bring satisfaction. And likewise with work. Earlier in the book, he has told us that work does not bring the satisfaction that many people think it will. That's a real surprise to many people. The one thing I can count on is that if I work hard, I will be satisfied. I will find fulfillment in my hard work. Nope. Says Solomon earlier in the book, that won't happen either, but if you will labor according to godly wisdom, yes, it will. That's the whole key. Handling your money apart from God's wisdom will not bring fulfillment. Handling your money God's way will. Working apart from God's wisdom will not bring fulfillment, but working according to God's wisdom will. And so that's why we need to do it God's way. And so we come to verses 3 through 6, wisdom at work. And there are several areas of wisdom that we need to understand. And the first one is to recognize that you cannot control the results of your work. Now, this is another puzzling proverb, but let's unpack it. Verse 3, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. What does that mean? And again, we have these proverbial statements, of which there are a lot of them in the book of Ecclesiastes. They sound like proverbs because they are proverbs. But what does this proverb mean? Well, how do you connect the statement? Do you connect it with what goes before about money? Some people do, but I think that's the wrong way to connect it. Or do you connect it with the verses that follow? And I think that's the way to understand it. And I simply tell you, without getting into the verses that follow, that the verses that follow talk about things that we cannot control. I'll give you an example. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Because we can't control the wind. We can't control the weather. We can't control the rainfall. These are things we cannot control, and it goes on to deal with some others of these. Now, with that in mind, look at verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. There are certain things that we can't control. We can't control the rain. We're all interested in the weather. Some people are exceedingly interested in the weather, but I think we all are to some degree. We want to check it in the morning. And we've already probably gotten today's forecast the day before, but it has a way of changing overnight. Not always, but sometimes. So we check it in the morning. What's the weather supposed to be today? Is it supposed to rain today? What's the temperature going to be like today? We want to know these things. I started to say we need to know these things. In a sense, we do in order to plan our day appropriately, but in another sense, we don't, because people who don't know anything about a weather forecast can still live their lives that day. It's not an absolute necessity to know, but it helps to know how to dress, what shoes to wear. I choose my shoes according to whether or not I expect it to rain. I have a couple of pairs of shoes that that weather rain pretty well without the chance of damaging the shoes. But I have other shoes that if they get caught in the rain, it can do damage to the shoes. Now, that's just a simple thing. It's probably the same thing is probably true of every one of you who are listening to the broadcast, so you know what I'm saying is reality. So yes, it's helpful to check the weather and see if they're expecting rain today, then I need to wear some shoes that are not going to be damaged by rain and so forth. So it's helpful to have some idea of what to expect today, but neither you nor I nor the weatherman can control the weather. And as we all know and talk about quite often, the weather man, the weather person, the weather forecaster doesn't always get it right. Nowadays, the weatherman is just as likely, or maybe even more likely, to be a woman as to be a man. But the weather forecaster doesn't always get it right. And we really shouldn't be surprised at that, and we really shouldn't expect them to. They're making forecasts based upon information that we don't have. Sophisticated information is available today with computers and so forth. And so they are doing a better job of forecasting the weather today than people could in years gone by when they didn't have these tools. But they still can't be 100% accurate because God controls the weather. And He determines what will happen. He determines when the rain will come and when it will not come. And so that's, in a sense, I think what verse 3 is talking about, things that we cannot control. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, at least normally. If a tree falls to the north or to the south, either one, wherever it falls, that's where it shall lie. When you are working at cutting trees, you can do a reasonably decent job of directing where the tree is going to fall, but not always. Even skilled woodsmen don't always get it right, and people who aren't particularly skilled often get it wrong. How many times have we seen people who cut a tree expecting it to fall in one direction and it fell in another direction, the wrong direction, and maybe did some damage to the house or something like that? That's a sad, sad event when it happens, but it does happen. And when you're talking about a tree that just falls because of a storm or something like that, we don't control where it falls. How many of us have gotten up one morning after a severe storm and found a tree had fallen in our yard? I've had that experience. I don't know how many times I have had that experience, and I have thanked the Lord that that tree didn't fall on my house when it could have, but I've had some that just missed it by a few feet, and I had one that clipped just the corner, just the edge of my roof one time, and I had to do some minor repairs. But if it had just been a foot or two further in the direction of my roof, it would have done serious damage. But I don't control that, and you don't control that. There are things that you cannot control. And so we're talking about wisdom at work, and we'll see that as we move through this section. But this first verse, this first statement in verse 3 with these puzzling proverbs, I think is simply teaching us that we need to understand, we need to recognize that we cannot control the results of our work. We would like to, and we can influence them. It's not to say that we have no influence on the results of our work. It's true that slothfulness is going to generally produce a less than satisfactory result, and diligence is more likely to produce a satisfactory result. But we've also got to recognize that there are things that are just outside of our control. We can work hard and diligently and well and wisely and according to the best predictions, and things just don't turn out well. They don't turn out the way we thought. They don't turn out the way we planned. There's a higher power. God is sovereign in these things. Now, the sooner you recognize that, the better off you'll be. We're talking about how to enjoy life in a fallen world. If you don't recognize that, you are going to be continually frustrated. When you think you can control these things, and then it turns out that you can't, that produces a high degree of frustration. When you recognize from the beginning that you don't control these events in life, you don't control the results of your work, you work as hard as you can, but you trust the results to God. And if God chooses to bless, it will be blessed. And if God doesn't, it won't. Learn that, and you will find greater satisfaction in life. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.